Welcome to Entrusted Hope Podcast, a ministry outreach of Entrusted Hope Ministries. We're so glad that you've chosen to join us today as we dive into the Word of God, entrusting to you what has been entrusted to us. Join us now as our host and Bible teacher, Dr. O'Shea Lowry, teaches God's unchanging truth while passing on life lessons entrusted to her amid her journey.
Welcome to Entrusted Podcast. I am your host, Shay Lowry, and today I am joined by Maria Norvell from the great state of Florida. Maria is a follower of Christ. She enjoys studying the Word of God. She loves being a part of groups, devotional groups with friends and family. She is the wife of Michael, who is the head football coach with Florida State. She is also the mom to Mila and mom dog to Sweet Max. She's an advocate for coaching families, student athletes, and she is a supporter of the FCA. She is an aspiring chef. She loves to cook for people when the opportunity presents itself. She cherishes family time, making memories. She loves the outdoors. And last but not least, she loves her coffee. So Maria, welcome to Entrusted Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I have been looking so forward to this podcast. It has been so great to get to know you. I tell everybody, I said, she's just so precious. She's so humble. I just already love you so much. And we are just so excited to have you as our guest. So we want to get right into this podcast interview. So tell us about Maria, where you grew up and where you call home.
I am from Fort Smith, Arkansas. It is the northwest part of Arkansas, bordering Oklahoma, and that is home. That is where I call it. My family are still there, and we go there as much as we can.
Okay. Maria, during our preparation interview, we talked back and forth about different topics, and you mentioned a grandmother who had a huge impact on your life, as well as your parents. Tell us one out of many lessons that was entrusted to you in your growing up years that helped to mold and shape you for today.
Well, they raised me in the church, and I saw through my grandmother and my parents, and so much of my family, just the servant heart that they all had, and just serving others, and just treating people with kindness, and just valuing people and their hearts. And I saw that through my parents and definitely through my grandmother and how she served the community in a great way. Both my grandparents did. But
you know, I am so reminded of both sets of grandparents who did the same thing. They had such a servant hearts. So I'm so glad, as I know you are, that your grandmother, if she could hear us talking today, that she has been honored today. And of course, your parents as well. Maria, as you and I both know, there are times in life when God calls a timeout in our journeys, maybe to redirect those journeys. And when this first happens, we may not understand at the time why that call came. But sometimes on down the road, months or even years on down the road, sometimes we will look back and go, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. Yes. At a very young age, you fell in love with the sport of basketball. Your life was pretty set. You know, after high school, you wanted to go and play college ball. You received several scholarships to play on a collegiate level, but something happened during that time that caused a redirection, if you will, and a transformation. So tell us about that period, what took place and how God used it to maybe teach you a lesson or two.
Well, you know, it was pretty sudden, and it took me some time I felt pretty lost for a little bit. And there was definitely a time for, you know, grieving that and missing being a part of a team. And that was really a big part of it. But I just didn't really know exactly where I was going to go. And, you know, I eventually, though, I found my way back to just reading my Bible and, you know, praying. And I had just really felt lost for a little bit of time there. And just through the support of good people around me and school, I, you know, finding just my love for studying, and I made some really great friends, and I just began to trust God's plans for me were good and full of hope and a future. And it didn't, you know, it didn't end because I stopped playing basketball, and I found a new purpose for sure.
Now, you had an injury, right? That
well, I hurt my back. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, detours are sometimes some of God's greatest blessings. Something took place during that time. You went on to college and not as a basketball player, but as a student, and something pretty amazing happened. God placed someone in your life during that time. So tell us a little bit about that season and who you met during that time.
Yes, I, you know, I was just busy being a student, and, I, through my roommate, Kelsey, she played basketball, and, she was friends with another, student athlete named Michael, and, you know, they had hung out some, and we started hanging out, and, I watched him out there playing football, and I didn't know really, that was when I didn't even know what was going on in football. And I still knew that he was very good. And it was fun to watch him, and he caught my attention, but we, you know, we were just friends. And then we signed up for a ballroom dancing class together, and he was my
coach. Norvell did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was my dance partner, and he was very good, and it was just a lot of fun, and it was so it was just so amazing just how easy that was to just become friends with him and just form that relationship. And we had a lot of fun.
You sort of maybe forgot about basketball during that time.
I was playing intramural basketball at college too. And we would, and he would go play around with me too. And it was fun.
That is great. Well, this is probably one of the questions that I have been looking most forward to asking. I want us to talk about the great proposal. I want you to take us back to that day when Coach proposed to you. Take us step by step what happened that whole day. Pretty amazing story.
Well, and you know, it's so different now. I mean, things weren't recorded the way things are now with social media. So, you know, it wasn't a big setup where people were filming or, well, I don't even have any pictures of it, but I know that at some point before he proposed, he was very sneaky and he went to Fort Smith and met with my parents and, you know, asked their permission. And he got my grandmother's ring, her wedding ring, which I still have. And, so I didn't even know he did that. And then we made plans to go out to dinner. It was New Year's Eve, and we went to Macaroni Grill, which was a really special treat for college students. And because I was still, or maybe I was in graduate school and he was still playing, but, so we, went to Macaroni Grill, and he didn't eat anything, and I didn't know what was wrong with him. And so then we came back, we were in Little Rock, and we came back to Conway, and it had been all lit up, downtown Conway had, for Christmas, and they have a really pretty gazebo. And so we went to walk around there, and we're there, and he's just walking around looking at the light poles and checking plugins and lights. And I don't know what he's doing. What are you doing? And he said, well, these were on, they were supposed to be on. Why aren't they on? All these Christmas lights, they were not on. And so I was like, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't know. So then we were sitting on the gazebo And I think we were dancing even. I don't know. I don't remember. And then he got down on his knee and proposed, and I had gloves on because it was cold. So I was excited, and I ripped my glove off and slapped him in the face. And that's pretty typical of me. So, and of course I said yes, but, and then everybody knew. So it wasn't really, I didn't get to surprise anybody with that news, but so, it was exciting.
So the big question on the table, were the Christmas lights on? Because that's what he was trying to do, is make sure all the lights were on for the great proposal. And they were not on. Bless his heart. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Okay. So you were then a new coach's wife, young in your young 20s, just starting out. And throughout that time, God placed a woman in your life that mentored you. Mm-hmm. You watched her do life as a wife, as a mom. And tell us about who that woman is and what were some lessons that she taught you that you are still applying to your life to this day.
Well, I would say, you know, when Michael really started coaching at the University of Tulsa as a graduate assistant is when I really saw the impact of a coach's wife. And Penny Graham was the head coach's wife there at the time. And I learned so many wonderful things from her as far as including everyone. I mean, it was such a family atmosphere. It truly was. I mean, we were always welcome to come up there. And I didn't even, you know, I've never been anywhere or a part of any staff where wives and kids weren't always encouraged and allowed to come up to the office to practices. And, you know, and she and her husband, Todd, they set that foundation. And so I'm very grateful for that. And she was always so positive, even in the you know, she always found the good side of things. And then Christy Malzahn was also there at the time.
And I love her. She is awesome.
She is awesome. Yeah. And she taught me, you know, so many valuable lessons. I mean, just humility and servitude and just being there for your husband and just being his biggest support and help and very good at, you know, speaking truth and love, just not sugarcoating things. And just telling the truth of how, you know, things can be sometimes, because I mean, it is hard. It's a hard business to be in. And, but there's always somebody there, you know, to support you. And so that was that. I mean, they made a big impact in my life in those very first years. Yes.
So how important, and I'm going to go off track just a little bit. What do you find yourself doing today that maybe you look back and go, I learned that from Christy, or I learned that from Miss Graham?
Well, Penny always, I remember, because I was a GA's wife and we didn't have a whole lot. And I remember she would always have like a preseason meal or just a luncheon or something. And she would invite everybody. And I was always included in that. And she gave gifts out a lot. And I still do that. And,
what kind of gifts? Take me to a time.
We would get like clothing, you know, for the University of Tulsa or Arizona State we would get, you know, cute little jewelry or little bags, just stuff. It just meant a lot to me. And so yes. I always do that. Now, like I did it in Memphis, I do it now before the season starts. I, have like a dinner. I get gifts for them for, you know, just Florida State themed things and cute things, usable things like for, game day or tailgating or whatever. And we have a meeting about just the upcoming season. And and Christy, I mean, you know, when Michael became a head coach, she was one of the first to reach out to me to just give me advice of you can't please everybody, and to make sure to, you know, hold those boundaries. But also, you know, sometimes you'll have to get out of your comfort zone and do things that maybe you don't think are fun, but it's important to do and be there, you know, with, cause I'm not as comfortable with the social part of it at, and, but you know, I need to get out of my comfort zone and just be there to support Michael.
So today, do you find yourself being a Christy and a Penny to other women in your role today?
I hope. I try to be. I hope so. I always want to encourage our coaches' wives to, if they want, we can be as active as you want to be, or, you know, but just to always know that we're a group together to support each other. And I try to just immediately when somebody new comes along to make sure that they are plugged in with everybody. Cause you know, you're moving to a new place, you have questions. And so I just make sure that we're always accessible and hopefully helpful.
I say all the time, I teach a Sunday school class to single moms, and I say all the time, you know, find a woman, you know, it is imperative to be mentored, you know, by other women that have gone before us, and they can teach and pour in to our lives. And you are living proof of two women that poured into your life at a young age, even throughout the years, they still pour into your life. And now you are implementing what you learned from watching them, from listening to them. You know, one of the things I love that Christy called you when you became, when he had took the position as head coach, and you listened to her advice. You know, sometimes people will not listen to others pour into them, but you listened to her. And so
that is part of what Christy is like. That's what I mean. She is going to be truthful with me. And so I know that I can trust her advice.
It's great. I have, some friends in my life that speak truth, you know, to me. And it's not always, you know, I say, if you have a friend that you have to pat on the shoulder all the time and you never are allowed to speak truth, that's probably not a real good, healthy friendship, because healthy friendships, there are times that you're going to have to say, oh, you need to think about that, or let's talk about that, you know? So, I think that is great that you have had those women pour into your life. So Penny and Christy, thank you so much for pouring into this young woman's life. And I know they are still pouring into, so many others. Where are they at today? Now I know Christy, is in
Central Florida.
I thought she was okay.
Yeah. And I think Penny is on a mission trip right now. Okay. I'm not sure where right now, but they were at, Arizona State, and then, they were just at Hawaii, and now they are serving and doing wonderful things.
That's great. So, that's great. Okay. So your husband, as we talked before the podcast, has taught you many things throughout your life. Do you mind sharing a few of those things that most impacted you?
Yes. Well, it's something, you know, I've watched him do in every step of his career, in every role as a player, because when we were first married, he was still playing. He had another year left to play. But I saw him be such a leader to his team. And immediately when he became a graduate assistant, it was just the very next year to the same group of players he was just playing with. Now he's coaching. And he absolutely embraced that role and was able to set that, you know, the difference of being in a leadership role as a coach and not as, you know, as a friend, as a teammate anymore. But he always took every role he had and has had as just the most important job that could be done right now. He will do whatever work is necessary to, you know, that is asked upon him. I mean, when we needed extra money before we got married, he worked at the city dump for hours every day. Like he is a worker, and I have heard him tell other people, you know, whatever role it is, pretend that you have the mindset of the next role up. You know, I mean, he was an offensive coordinator for years, but he would think as a head coach would think, you know, try to prepare him for that. And there was never any work that was beneath him ever. I mean, as a graduate assistant, whatever it would be, whether it was going to get Coach Malzahn's wallet at 2 a.m. or whatever, he forgot it. He never complained. You know, I may have complained, but that's okay. That's different. But he never complained about the work that he had to do. And even now, he unloads the luggage from the airplanes when they travel. Like, he just sets the standard of work and serving. And I see it and I hear it. And it has taught me a lot just about serving others and, you know, just having humility and working without complaining. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Here's the big question on the table. As a coach's wife, you hear a lot of criticism. How do you deal with it? Versus how you would like to deal with it. How have you come to a place in your life that you know this is the way I need to deal with this? Right. That would honor the Lord. And
let me look at my what I wrote, because I would like, yeah. Well, I mean, it does hurt, because I care so much, because I see how hard he works and how hard our players work. And I know what they're working towards. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at first I do want to, like, you know, just
defend.
Yeah. But I'm trying to step back and have grace that they really don't understand. And I just have to have hope that, you know, the truth will show itself and they will be able to turn their criticism into support. And people care, they care so much about the teams that they support. And I understand that, but, you know, to be critical of student athletes, I do get a little worked up about that, but it is, you know, they're seen as entertainment a lot to people. And I just try to have grace and just know that the truth will show itself with how hard they work, and good things will come. And there's no pleasing everybody. There's just
that's
not.
Right. That's right. Okay. So what advice would you give? Well, I first want to say I applaud you for how you choose to handle things that do honor the Lord. And I think that's very, very notable. And I want to say thank you for that. But I know it has to be hard to hear your husband criticized or team criticized, but you're right. You can't please everyone. So what advice would you give to that young coach's wife today as relates to being a wife of a football coach?
I would say communicate clearly. I mean, just really have strong communication in your marriage and with the schedule even. I mean, a lot of hurt feelings can be avoided by just communicating clearly of what you thought, and always add an hour to when they say they're going to come home. So, but, you know, just not to make assumptions of what you think is going to happen, but just communicate and say, I need this, or I need that, or I need to know when you're going to be available or what the schedule is going to be, so that, you know, you're not working on expectations or assumptions and then get hurt because there was a miscommunication. And always be honest about, you know, your feelings and your needs. And most importantly, I would say pray for your husband and pray together, because it is definitely a tough industry and a tough schedule. There's a lot of pressure, and prayer is just everything for, right, for marriage and
Okay. Maria, I called you Christy. I'm sorry. Maria, if you were sitting, looking at your 21-year-old self right now, what are three things you would say to her?
Well, I would say to maybe study something different. But even though I really like psychology, I don't know. I would have rather changed to like physical therapy. So I would say to maybe study something different, more in the field that you actually can take with you places.
Okay.
I would say to not care about what other people think, but to just do what you know is right in your heart, and to make studying the word, scripture, God's word, just as important as all of your schoolwork. Because, you know, it's taken me years to really just see how life-changing just the word of God is. So I wish that I would have devoted more time to that at a younger age.
Okay. Great advice. What is one of your favorite passages of scripture, and how has it impacted you?
Yes. Well, I am in my head a lot, so I start to spiral with worries and what ifs and trying to control the outcome of things. And so I feel like my life go-to scripture is, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, and seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take, which is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Because, and it really calms me and reminds me that these thoughts that I have, these, you know, thinking of what could happen, you know, that's not what's true. You know, only God knows what's true, and he is in control. And
he sees the bigger picture. That's what I always say. He sees what we do not see.
Yeah. So it's a great reminder for me to not rely on my own understanding or somebody else's understanding.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You have a sweet little girl. Yeah. Tell us about your daughter and share a few parenting tips that you have learned along the way.
Well, we have one daughter. Her name is Mila, and she's 7. And she is a joy in this world. She is filled with just light, and she's so friendly, and she teaches me a lot. She's like a old soul. She will point out very observant things. And so I think it's important to listen to your kids. I mean, they have valuable things to say. Just because they're little doesn't mean they don't witness and see lots of things. And you just listen to your kids and play with them, because that is a time where they really will open up and share about their day, is just through playing whatever they want to play. Mm-hmm. And it is hard for me. I struggle with that, with just getting unbusy, undistracted, and just playing. But I know that is just one of the best ways to connect. I feel like, you know, we have a routine. It really helps. I've always done that with her, but she's always had a routine, and it's just really helped with, just the instability of my husband's schedule at times. And, so having a purpose and a plan for when we're going to all be together, especially during the season, for coaching families, I would say to be very intentional about, you know, family time, and really working to see how you're all going to spend time together. Because I get to see Michael at night when he comes home, but she has to go to bed earlier, you know, so we are very intentional about planning that out of when she's going to see him and he's going to see her, and make sure that is always happening.
So does she enjoy going to football? I know she enjoys going to the games. Does she enjoy going to the practices and watching practice? Does she enjoy things like that?
She does not watch anything. she just goes and turns any kind of football equipment that is left out into some kind of monkey bars, gym, whatever. I mean, it all becomes a playground for the kids. And so she doesn't look at anything that's actually, she has no idea. But
you know, I asked that because my dad was a football coach, and I absolutely love football because of the life lessons it teaches. I love to watch football, but I can remember in kindergarten missing the bus on purpose so that I could stay at that practice, you know, to watch dad at football practice. So I was just wondering if she enjoyed those times. Okay. An inspiring, aspiring chef.
Yeah.
I was so just thrilled to hear that. So tell us like one or two of your favorite dishes that you enjoy preparing.
I like to make, it's easy and it's really delicious. This sheet pan chicken piccata. And I like to make, these lemony Greek potatoes a lot. They're easy. They have a lot of flavor. I have some food allergies or intolerances. So I've just kind of started cooking a lot of my own stuff. So I don't eat gluten, and, I love to bake gluten-free desserts. Chocolate chip cookies are so good. I'm going to make a strawberry cake for myself for Mother's Day tomorrow. And so I really like to bake desserts. Mila wants me to make this chocolate chip cookie cake that I make. She wants me to make it for her birthday. And that's really sweet. But
so you enjoy cooking?
I love cooking. I love cooking. I love baking. I really do. Yeah.
Do you cook for the team when they come?
Oh, Lord, no.
No. Oh, you don't?
I have not mastered cooking for 120 people yet, but I wish that I could.
Okay.
I would love to cook for them, but I can't do it.
Okay. Well, my last couple of questions, let's talk about and brag on the Florida State fans. So tell us what it's like being there, and how have they embraced you and your family, and how have they impacted your lives thus far?
Well, they are... they're so passionate about Florida State. I mean, they care so deeply about the tradition and the place. And I have really felt just so cared for. I mean, we've been here for over 2 years now, but I can't go to anything without somebody asking, you know, how are we liking it? And, you know, have we found everything we need, or just there's so much care for this place. And I mean, the most recurring thing I heard, you know, when we were moving here, is how many people came to, like, coaches, professors, people came to work at Florida State, and they thought they would just be here for a little bit. And then like 12, 16, 20 years later, they're still here, because it really is a wonderful place. Tallahassee is a great city and community. And I feel a lot of support, and there's a lot of pride for Florida State football. And I know that they can't wait for Florida State to be on top again.
Well, I know you can't. And I know that is just so wonderful that you are that loved for and taken care of there. And I know that that does make a difference. Maria, you have been such a blessing to get to interview today. I know you are so busy. You're right in the crust of football season, getting started, of summer workouts or spring workouts, but you took this time to be with us. And I just want to say to people, if you've never gotten a chance to meet her in the Tallahassee area, she is precious. You will just absolutely love her. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to minister us. And thank you for as well for listening to this Entrusted podcast, where we love entrusting to others what has been entrusted to us. So I hope you have enjoyed this podcast as well, and the many lessons entrusted. You can find this interview at entrustedhopeministries.org. Again, that is entrustedhopeministries.org. So thank you for joining us, and I hope you have a blessed rest of the week.
Thank you for listening to Entrusted Hope Podcast. We pray today's teaching brought you hope and comfort in God's truth and in His love. For more information on Entrusted Hope Ministries, visit our website at www.entrustedhopeministries.org. Have a blessed day, and thank you again for listening to Entrusted Hope Podcast, an outreach of Entrusted Hope Ministries.